Hey everybody, welcome back to the Roundtable Riot. I'm your host, Jay DeBoya. I know this episode is an entire week late, but you know, life. My son started back to football practice and you know, work has really and truly been kicking my butt. But you know, a young player gotta stop making excuses and be more consistent with their passions instead of, you know, working for people that, you know, we're gonna leave it right there. But nevertheless, let's go ahead and jump into this week's small business review. This week, I am reviewing a company by the name of FroButter. That's FroButter. And this is actually what I use in my hair because, you know, I'm natural. I've been natural for almost 7 years now. Like, I grow my hair out, cut it off, But I'm trying to stop cutting it off. It's just really, really hard. My daughter wants me to grow my hair out. But, you know, I look amazing with a short haircut. So I'm just like, do I disappoint my daughter or do I live my life? But, you know, I'm trying to find that balance. To keep her happy and me happy. But FroButter is this amazing company. I actually use their products for my liquid oil cream method, aka the lock method. Their products smell amazing. Not only do they have products for hair, but they also have like some body butters. Y'all know I love a good body butter. They have a foot scrub. Y'all know I love a good foot scrub. Y'all know I love anything that's just like makes me feel amazing. So I don't know what my problem is. Like, I'll buy a good body scrub, all that great stuff. And they even have like products for kids. So when I tell y'all like these products are amazing, I'm not just saying that because, you know, to say it. These are actually products that I have used and I enjoy. And by the way, they're having a sale right now. So you guys should really and truly go check them out. So once again, that is FroButter.com, FroButter.com. Go check them out. They have some amazing products. Like I said, you will not be disappointed. And now a quick message from this week's sponsor.
Hi everyone. This is Travis and Faith of Twinacious Juice. We have been working hard to perfect our delicious lemonade recipes and are ready to share them with the world. We have a growing variety of lemonade for you to try. We are currently offering classic lemonade, blueberry lemonade, strawberry lemonade, and watermelon lemonade. Twinacious Juice Lemonade is homemade with only fresh and organic ingredients that we know you will love. So much so that we are offering a 10% discount on your first order of Twinacious Juice. Visit www.twinaciousjuice.com. That's www.twinaciousjuice.com to order today and use offer code TWINS for 10% off your first order.
Alrighty, and welcome back, beautiful people. It is now time for this week's Riot Talk topic. Today we are talking about child support. It's more than money. As many of you may know, this is a very sensitive topic for me because I personally would prefer an active co-parent over a financially one. But hey, who am I? Today on the show, we have a guest with us, and I'll allow him to introduce himself. His name is Sam, but tell you guys a little bit more about him, about himself. I'm sorry. So, Sam, if you don't mind telling us a little bit about yourself and your current family structure.
Sure. My name is Sam. I am the owner and CEO of the ICE Podcast Network. I am also the owner and operator of Advocate Tax Services. I am an accountant by trade. I have full custody of my son and joint custody of my daughter.
Oh, cool. And I'm really glad that we'll have a male's perspective today on child support because quick question. And if I'm getting like too intrusive, please let me know. So
I'm open book.
Okay, that's perfect. So with you having full custody of your son, I'm assuming that his mother pays child support or is supposed to pay child support to you. And then having... She doesn't?
She does not.
Is there an order in place where she should?
No.
Okay. And then for your daughter... I'm sorry?
Oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry. For your daughter, you have joint custody, correct? So do either of you pay child support in that situation?
No, we don't.
Okay. So first I want to find out, like, how do you personally define child support? Like, what does child support mean to you?
Well, to me, child support is being a part of your child's life, financially, emotionally, and physically.
And I'm so glad that you said that, because I personally, like, I have twins. I have a boy and a girl, you know. I always say the universe knew exactly what it was doing because it gave me them in one shot. But, you know, yes. But, you know, my children's father feels as if, like he begged me to put him on child support. And he felt as if it would hurt me by putting him on child support after, like, because I didn't put him on child support until our kids were almost five, because it wasn't something that I saw that was necessary. You know, I felt as if we could both co-parent and, you know, make this thing work. But, you know, not everybody feels that way. So, you know, tell us a little bit about your situations, you know, if you don't mind, like, how you got sole custody of your son, as well as, like, you know, what was the rationale between, you know, doing joint custody for your daughter?
Okay, well, let me break it down like this. This is a man's perspective of why he wanted to be put on child support first. Let me address that, because I thought that was interesting. So, with men, we feel like if we're providing a financial obligation, nothing else is required. Which couldn't be more further from the truth. But in some men's minds, that's how they think. Like, I give you money, you shouldn't need nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't agree with that. So, how I got my son full custody, my son has autism. So, he had a lot of challenges when he was a baby, and he didn't talk until he was three.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a very trying time, and me and his mother, we weren't married. We were like dating,
mm-hmm.
cohabitating. So I was also 22.
Mm-hmm.
So I was young and dumb, and you know the rest. So when me and her broke up, we had a conversation. It was, okay, I want to be in my son's life. Period. I'm not going to force you to stop you from doing whatever you want to do. So either we can split weekends or split weeks, or I can just have it full time. And she said, okay, you can have it full time. That's kind of how that went.
Mm. Wow. That's
so
pretty.
Yes, the mother of my son decided that she would rather not have him and just let me raise him. And that's what I've been doing. He's 12 now.
Well,
so
can I ask a question about that?
Mm-hmm.
How old was your son when you all had this discussion?
He was three.
Okay. So do you think maybe she could have suffered from like some type of postpartum depression, or was it just that she was like, oh, I don't want to deal with this, I just want to live my life?
Well, that's how we broke up. She actually cheated on me. So she wanted to go out and party and do her thing. And I'm not one to stop that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a homebody by nature. So I'm going to want to be around my son.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I never had a dad in my life. So it was very important to me that I'm a part of his life. So regardless of whatever she decided, I was going to be there, whether she liked it or not.
Mm-hmm.
So she ended up just saying, hey, take me. And I was like, you don't have to worry about child support. I actually quit my job and went to college, got my accounting degree so I could take care of myself by myself. So I don't really need to. Like, if you want to be a part of his life, you can, but that's your option. You're going to have to answer that question when he asks you.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Now, you mentioned that you didn't have your father in your home growing up. So as for a man of color, it made it more important for you to be a father to your son.
I've had father figures mm-hmm. all around me. So my uncles practically raised me and showed me how to be a man. They were husbands, fathers, all that. So I got to see a good example of a man through them.
Okay, so what would you say for these, especially because, you know, I'm more so like with the community of color, what would you say for those men of color who did not have like those awesome father figures in their lives? However, instead of choosing to be a father, they're just like, oh, I'll just do this financially. You know, the kids can holler at me when they 18. Da, 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 da. Don't you think by the time the child is 18, it's a little too late to be a father at that point?
It is, but it's also easier because, you know, they're grown. Like, the most important milestones in their life, you're missing.
But
so even though I didn't work out with my son's mother, and I'm not working out with my daughter's mother currently, I'm still going to be active.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I'm going to be a father regardless. Like, and I would tell that to any man of color, it's more important for you to be there. If you can't make child support payments, just be there. Pick them up. Take them to McDonald's. You know, talk to them. Just hold them. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They need that. They want mm-hmm. to feel their father's presence.
And I completely agree with that because in my situation, you know, I've always out-earned my children's father, and I don't, you know, things may change. However, at the current moment, I don't see a day where I won't out-earn him. So, you know, I personally went to this individual and said, hey, listen, I don't want to put you on child support. I really don't want anything from you financially. I just want you to co-parent with me, you know, be a dad, you know, be that father figure that our kids need. But, you know, you still argue with me to put you on child support.
Because, you know, he doesn't want that responsibility.
Yeah, I can
do... And that's... You made this child. This child did not choose to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, it's your business to take care of your own flesh and blood.
And I agree, but then at the same token, don't try to make it out like, you know, the mother of your children or your, you know, your ex is evil. You know, because there are a lot of behind the scenes conversations that you don't have. Even more so, you know, now that he is on child support, sometimes he feels as if he has a say in what child support should be spent on. Do you agree that the non-custodial parents should have some say as to what child support is spent on?
Yes and no. But I'm a little different because I don't want any child support. So
mm-hmm.
I believe two adults should be able to sit down and talk and agree to what should be spent or what needs to be paid.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to daycare or anything like that, I got half of it. I got them. Whatever they need, I got half. And if we're not together, hey, that seems to be a good idea to me. Okay. But as an accountant, I know that child support is not tax deductible from the person who's paying it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not taxable to the receiver. So I believe there will be more incentive for a woman to support, not a woman, just whoever, to do what they want with that money if they're taxed on it as income. What? But a lot of times in our culture, it seems like the money's not being spent on the child. Which is kind of like, with me, I would want to see receipts. I would want to see documents stating that what you're using this money for is for what I'm giving it to you for. But I also don't have the courts involved.
Mm-hmm.
So I really don't mess with anyone who I couldn't talk to on an intellectual level.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we should be just adult. Like, we might not like each other or whatever. We got to put that to the side because it's not about us. It's about the kid.
I am so happy that you said that because I think that a lot of adults, what tends to happen is we allow our emotions for that other individual to jade our vision. And, you know, we're not really focusing on the task at hand. You know, if somebody is I think that what has to happen a lot of times is that we need to learn how to take the emotions out of things and think about the well-being of this child and or children. And I think that's especially for people of color, I think that's something that's really difficult. Because, you know, you have women, like, because I see it a lot. You have women like, yeah, I'm going to put you on child support and da-da-da-da. And it's like, then they want the guys to kind of be at the mercy of the court. And anytime he doesn't do what she wants him to do, it's, oh, I'm going to go file a child abandonment warrant on you. And vice versa. So, it could just cause, like, a lot of friction. And, you know, that's just been my personal experience because I attempted to rationally approach someone about co-parenting, and that just wasn't their end game. You know, at the end of the day, I think that a lot of people think that child support, especially when it's court ordered, is a mechanism to hurt the other party. However, you don't see the damage that you're doing to your children.
And at the end of the day, child support is not nearly enough money for what you really need it for.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, it's the person can spend on whatever they want, but really, what is it? Maybe 10% of your income? You know, that's not a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the government themselves take out 20% of my income.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hey, that's not a lot. So it comes down to actually being you laying down with this person. So at one point, y'all were in sync and created life. Now you have to understand that, hey, now that this life is here, I have to step up and be a man, be an adult, and take care of my responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you get other people in your ear and, oh, this is not what my system went through. And all that is irrelevant to me. Just be a man. Just step up and do what you got to do.
And I think that's for both sides. I think that's for both sides. I think that sometimes that we do have so many outside forces kind of trying to guide us through this process of, oh, that's not what I went through with, you know, in my situation. And I think that what people have to realize that your situation isn't somebody else's situation. Just because that's not how you got to your destination, that doesn't mean that's how I can't get to mine.
Yeah, exactly. So with all being said and done, that's why I cannot deal with any person who doesn't think logically.
Mm-hmm.
You have this is more than just you.
Mm-hmm.
And if more people understood that this isn't about you, this is about the child, there wouldn't even be a need for the court system.
I completely agree.
Sit down and talk. Just be like, hey, this is over, but we have this child.
Mm-hmm.
What can we do as a unit to raise this child?
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Like, an adult conversation, okay, when you stop being mad, I'll come back over and we can talk. Mm-hmm. Or I can take you out to dinner. We can talk. Not a date. This is a business meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And this could be business.
And now, and since you mentioned that, like, what are some challenges you have faced with receiving involvement from the other parent? Well, in your case, it will mostly be your son's mother. So what issues have you faced with her being the non-custodial parent regarding involvement in your son's life?
Well, I don't hold that against her because things happen, whatever, but my son's not going to go without anything, including love and affection from anyone. If you choose not to be in his life, that's your choice as an adult. You know,
mm-hmm.
Hey, I can't control you. All I can do is give him the best life possible, the mm-hmm. best way I know how. Because I can't sit around and worry about what this other person is doing when I got a whole child here. Need love.
And I agree. You know, I think my case is more so the fact that, you know, my kids have seen their father maybe, I would say maybe 4 to 5 times. And my son is an optimist. And, you know, my son's always looking at the bigger picture. And, you know, he's just very, you know, he's very loving for a child his age. And he's very understanding. And for the most part, like, they haven't seen their father in about 5 years. And my son still thinks that their father is sick from 5 years ago because he told him, you know, the next time when I get better, I'm going to come see you guys and hang out with you guys. So, you know, I know that may not be your case, but what advice would you give to some, like, another parent who is in a home and they're dealing with the other parent not being there or them failing to show up for, like, major life events and breaking promises?
See, this is what I've learned to do. I learned to keep my son busy.
Mm-hmm.
Busy doing other things. You know, I'll send a text to my child's, my son's mother, and say, hey, the child kind of want to see you, so if you are able to come see him, you should probably do it, and leave it at that. My son doesn't know when he goes to see his mom, because I don't want him to get disappointed.
Mm.
So when she shows up, it's a surprise. And he's happy. I'm trying to do the reverse of what I was getting, which was my dad would tell me he's coming and never show up.
Mm-hmm.
So I just try to keep his mind busy, have him do fun stuff, play games, and do all the fun stuff he likes to do. And, you know, when she shows up, she shows up.
Wow. You have a very, very mature approach about this. I know that even in my personal experience, like when I'm dealing with my friends or, you know, I'm telling them where I'm coming from, because in my household, we don't talk about my children's father. Because I grew up with my mom telling me, oh, your dad ain't this, your dad ain't that. And I just personally chose not to do that with my kids. I always thought that, you know, what I told him was, it's not my job to tell our children what type of man you are. It's your job to show them. And, you know, being an African-American woman, it's living in Atlanta, you know, you get to see a lot of different, we're a melting pot. So, you know, you get to see a lot of different ways that women interact with their kid's father. And for the most part, it's always been the same from what I've seen. You know, it's been one of those, oh, you know, if he don't do this, I'm gonna do this. Like, it's just been like a very spiteful relationship. So to hear that you have such like a mature approach about parenting, it is truly refreshing. Like, I applaud you. I really take my hat off to you.
That's the thing. I'm just a dad. That's all I am. So when he needs something, when he needs to talk, or he needs guidance or anything, I'm going to be there. Like, that's what I laid down and did what I did to create him. I'm man enough to sleep with somebody. I'm man enough to raise somebody.
Hmm.
You know, that's just what it is. Like, it's no accolades. That's what you're supposed to do as a man. You're supposed to step up and do what you're supposed to do.
That's neat. Now, you mentioned that you have sole custody of your son and joint custody with your daughter. Like, so you're parenting 24/7. How do you find parenthood, work life, and social life balance?
Well, I don't have a social life. So that's kind of how that happened. So I have to go to work. I have to provide. But my social life is more of, like, doing my podcast with my co-host or doing business, you know, somewhere, or doing conference calls, or I'm really in more of a creative mode.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm doing things that I can do at home, so I can still be around my kid or kids if she's over here, and being that father when they need me, but also taking care of business, leaving them a legacy. You know, that's kind of where my mindset is now. I'm not really focused on meeting or dating or anything like that. I'm more of, okay, let me get myself together. Let me mend my heart so that when I'm ready to date or ready to go out, I can do so.
But don't you, not just aside from, not just dating, but, you know, maybe going out, like hanging out with male friends that you may have, do you think that being a parent, because in all honesty, just listening to you, like, I respect everything that you're doing. You know, you want to leave your kids a legacy, and you have learned to, how do I want to say this? At the moment, you're finding pleasure in leaving them that legacy. So you're working, like, and just working nonstop. But at some point, because this is something that I have a problem balancing as well. Don't at some point, like, you just like, okay, I just need to go out and maybe have a drink with my homeboys, or, you know, nothing like super fancy, just something to like break the ice, break the tension, because you've been parenting for so long solo.
No, I don't have that desire. Like, a lot of my close friends, they all have kids, they're married, or my calls are divorced, but they have kids that they're trying to spend time with. I hang out, every guy that I hang out with is just like me. Like, we're focused on our family. We're focused on becoming better men. So, yeah, I see one of my best friends all the time. Mm-hmm. But we also have all our kids. So it's like a group of five kids, you know, in a room trying to be quiet because the daddy's up front doing the podcast. Or we're recording on, like, a conference call, but all the kids sleep. So we make time to talk and kind of keep each other in check. Mm-hmm. But we also understand that we have lives outside of this. We have families. So I don't go out to drink like that. I don't hang out like that. You know, I'm in a frat, but, you know, I keep it on social media for the most part. You know, just, hey, how y'all doing? I see y'all have to pick out. You know, I'm still active, you know. But, you know, I'm naturally a homebody. I'm naturally somebody who likes to chill at the house.
Okay.
So that doesn't really bother me.
Okay. Well, I understand. So are you more of an introvert kind of?
Yes and no. So when I'm around, like, people I know, you know, I'm an extrovert, but I'm very introverted most times.
Okay.
You have to get to know me in order for me to break out my shell.
Okay.
Because I'm clearly about business all the time.
Okay.
But when I'm around my friends, we got jokes for days.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna let you slide with your social life answer.
It doesn't exist. You can't talk about something that don't happen.
Right.
So, you know.
So, but no, I respect your life choices. You know, I think that's great. I wish that more people were out here doing that, you know, instead of trying to chase the next fad. But, you know, who am I?
Or the next woman.
Well, or the next man, whatever's walking down the street casually, you know.
You know, she got to be a special somebody to catch my eye. I'm like, oh, look at that. She about her business.
Okay. I can dig it. I can completely dig it. Now, I do have a question because are you in you're not in the South, are you?
No, I actually went to school in Mississippi, so okay. I'm very familiar with the South.
Okay. So you know about all these abortion bans that are kind of rolling out slowly across the Bible Belt?
Oh, yeah. We actually, me and my co-host did a podcast about that.
Okay.
We just recorded it on Saturday.
All right. So that means it's fresh. How do you think these abortion bans are going to affect parenthood as well as child support enforcement?
Well, it's leaving the choice out. I'm pro-choice.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I call myself very pro-choice because no matter what, it's always the woman's decision, mm-hmm. whether we're married, whether we're not. Like, I have an opinion. I'll tell you, like, yeah, I'm excited. I would be happy. But it's your body. So I feel like, number one, this should make everybody more conscious about voting. Number two, this should make everybody more conscious of who they sleep with. You know, it should be more conversation before that even happens. Like, one-night stands should be very limited. Because of this bank.
Mm-hmm.
Because you got to be mindful of what could happen if, you know, that sperm meets the egg. You know,
mm-hmm.
you can't do anything about it. So, and what killed me is what I said on the podcast, is what killed me is all these white men are making decisions about women.
Yeah, when
you
they
don't know what women, you don't know what women go through during pregnancy. And not to mention if you have twins or multiples, this is not your decision.
This is true. And then I know I personally didn't like the bans because especially in Alabama, like there were no concessions being made originally for incest or rape. And these are areas where a rapist is more likely to be a white man than anyone else. So to me,
their own, so.
I'm sorry.
I call it protecting their own.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so many laws in place that are disadvantaged to minorities or quote unquote minorities or, you know, the wall and all this. Like, they're afraid. They're afraid they're about to become the minority.
Mm-hmm.
And it's evident. Like, I really wish people would understand how powerful it is for you to vote. They try so hard to stop us from voting. Why do you think that is?
Mm-hmm.
Because it affects everything.
I completely.
Like, I'm a political junkie. I'm an accountant. I'm a straight up nerd.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a nerd, so I'm into it. I can talk about politics and taxes and all that. Sorry.
It's fine. It's fine. Trust me. Because I know last year I had my own issue here in Atlanta when I took a loved one to vote. And her voter rolls completely disappeared. So if no one understands your plight, I completely do. I've actually been into politics myself on and off throughout the years. So you're preaching to the choir. Like, I get it, but I hope everybody else listening gets it too.
Yeah, I hope so too. I hope I ain't boring everybody with all this political talk.
No. Well, I'm not bored, so I hope they're not.
Okay, all right.
So, but then also, just to piggyback off of that, because in Georgia, the way they have their ban written is that child support can actually start when the child is in utero. However, getting those DNA tests is a bit more risky. So how would
I not know that?
Yep, they have it where you know, it's a huge mess. So how do you think that will affect just child support enforcement if somebody is telling you, oh, you have to pay child support for a child that isn't even born yet, and you may or may not know if it's yours?
Well, that may be the gift and the curse, and I say that because of this. Men may start to think about who they decide to sleep. They may ask the questions of, okay, so I should really get to know you and really be serious, because I know if I get you pregnant that I'm going to have to come out with some of this cheese. So it might be a good thing and hold men more accountable, but prior to conception.
You know, and that's where I disagree with you, because I think that there's a relearning that needs to take place, especially in a minority culture across the board, because, you know, young men of color are often told, oh, go out there, spread your wild oats, do this and do that. So that it's not there. A lot of young men of color aren't taught how to date. They aren't taught the art of courtship. While young women of color are like, they teach us, keep your legs closed, don't do this, a guy should do this for you, he should do this for you when you're dating. So there's a disconnect. So there has to be reteaching as a whole, as a society.
Okay, let me give you this. So I'm currently raising a young man. So whenever I take his grandmother out or his auntie or whoever, he sees how I'm treating them. He mimics whatever I do. You train a man the way he should go. So, and I also, like, well, not to throw out my, not to brag, I'm a Sigma. So Sigmas have Sigma Betas, who are a group of young men who are mentored by Sigmas. And every chance I get, I try to go to any school that has any Sigma Betas and just talk to them about manhood, about dating. There are men out here who do it, but it's just not known.
Mm-hmm.
So the narrative does have to change, and we're trying to do so. The real men out here are trying to change that narrative and try to give them understanding where, yeah, you might not have a father in your life, but I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to teach you how to tie a tie. I'm going to teach you what a resume is. I'm going to teach you what taxes are. You know, kind of, and if they usually gravitate to that. When they see a black man with a college degree, they usually, like, come towards me and just ask me questions.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if I'm in a frat. Oh, you step? Yeah, I do, but I do it a lot more. Sit down, young man. Let me buy you some Chick-fil-A or something, and let me talk to you.
But they as you stated, they have to be receptive to that type of information. You know, my son plays football. My daughter does cheer. Of course, she has to be his cheerleader because I'm not driving all over the world. But that's another story for another day. And I've noticed that when you have those fatherless homes, a lot of times the mother is telling them, oh, you're the man of the house. You have to do this for the house. So a lot of these young men aren't going through stages where they're boys. So they're growing up thinking the entire time that, you know, I'm a man, I'm a man, I'm a man. But they haven't learned what being a man is. So enter an individual like yourself going into their high school or going into a middle school. They may not be as receptive to that information because their whole life they've been taught, I'm a man, I'm a man. I have to take care of the house. I have to do this. And what I've noticed in a lot of situations where the father is not in the home and that mother has a son, that son takes the place of his mother's husband. So, you know, she's treating him like he's a king and he's that and her son is untouchable. So when it comes to him running into those big issues, he doesn't know how to deal.
So when it comes to young men like that, I would just do one or two things. I would, number one, wear my Jordans, wear my, you know, wear some jewelry or whatever, like get a little flashy. And, you know, and, oh, how you get, where you get that from? Oh, this around me? You know, they start looking at it, you know, or I'll be like, so how much money do I have in my bank account right now? And then I just show them. How do you get that? Let me show you. You know, I go with what I know. So I'm going, okay, let me entice you real quick. Because you can't steal from me. Because you don't know how to do it. But then I can show you the way. I can show you the game. It's a different legal game to get this.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like going off of what they see. And then once you get them, you can then tell them. I'll be like, stay in school.
I agree.
I'm like, let me show you my check stuff. It works. I don't know why, but it works.
I mean, because that's what we as a society put value on. We put value on things instead of people and places. You know, I think that.
Yeah.
And that it's horrible to say it that way, but it just is what it is. And I, because I'm an activist at heart, but in some situations it is just very difficult to reach people because you have so, there's so much reteaching that needs to be done.
See, the best way I can be an activist is to go to the people. Get that young man while he's still young. And let them know, yo, it's a brighter day. Grind, young man. Just grind. I know you see all kind of crazy stuff out here. Like, I live in Detroit. So, you know, it's kind of crazy out here. Sometimes.
Mm.
But if I see a young man anywhere, I'm be like, yo, you think you should do that? You know, it just kind of like, they see me and they see that I'm look just like them. And I'm like, yeah, I grew up here, but I'm still here. I didn't run from you guys. you know, just being seen can call, can like change a percent of like how somebody sees. When they see you, then they can see the brighter day.
And I agree.
You know.
Yeah. I had a debate with a friend of mine regarding living in Atlanta, and he was actually getting ready to move his family more towards the suburbs. And then he was like, oh, I can just commute in every day and help such and such or help this child. But to me, it made no sense because if you want to truly help, you have to be in the trenches. And that's just something that we never really could agree on. Like, there's no way I would send my kids to school in, you know, like in a predominantly white area, then come to a black area and say, oh, you guys can be just like me. I don't think the end goal is to basically be like the whites, be carbon copies of the whites. If that makes sense. You know, I think that the change has to come from within our own community, and we have to stay where we're going to represent it.
Yeah, now that's the thing. Like, I already work in a primarily white, like, career. Everyone around me don't look like me. I don't, like, I think it's 150 people. It's only two black men. So that's a little weird. But when I go pick up my son, I'm talking to his classmates, we hanging out. There'll be times I'll take him out, you know, just so they can see a black man taking care of business and, you know, having it, everybody have a good time. You know, that means something. Mm-hmm. Not to say that I'm Father of the Year or anything like that. I'm just hanging out with my son and his friends, letting them do their thing, but they also talk with each other. And, you know, that kind of gets me thinking, I wouldn't mind having about 8 kids. Then I really, reality hit me.
Oh, my.
I didn't do this on payday, but I got every day.
Oh. Well, I hope you find a good median. I personally think 2 is enough, but, you know, like I said, I got a package deal, so I'm kind of biased when it comes to that.
I can do one more.
Okay, well,
I'm going to tell the doctor, go ahead and take him out. I'm going to be right next to the baby on the operating table. Hey, come get him. I'm done.
Okay, well, good luck with that mission. Maybe, you know, I take my hat off to anybody who wants more kids. I don't see how y'all do it. Kids are expensive. Then on top of that, they like to invade your personal space.
Not that bad.
Oh, okay.
Well, this is coming from a man who loves his daughter so much, and she just don't want to get away from me, and she softened me up so much.
Well, I mean, my kids.
Well, health that she looks like me.
I mean, my kids. I love my kids. They I can say my kids actually softened me up too. Especially my son, because my son is gonna be a lot like me. He's gonna be a hopeless romantic. My daughter, on the other hand, you know, she's just going to be rough and tough with her Afro puff. She's really and truly not going to care. But I don't think I would start all over again. I just don't. Like, I'm almost to the finish line.
No, she didn't need the right man.
No, I'm almost to the finish line.
Who can take all three and just get you at the spa day so you can unwind, get your mind on. Come back with the kids, sleep. That's all you can
My kids are 10, and I am almost there. I don't see it. I'm sorry.
I see it. I'm seeing it. Just one more.
Mm-mm.
Because you got some babysitters now. Like, look, they're going to be. See, y'all 15. Y'all can stay here. We out.
Mm-mm. We would have all gone crazy because we would all go crazy. I work with a couple people. They're like, they have 5 kids already, and they're like, oh, I could do 2 more. No, you can't.
No, I'm good on that. I can do 1 more baby. But I just gotta find the right one to do.
Well, I wish you all the luck with that. But I hope anybody listening.
Okay.
I hope anybody listening from Detroit, whenever you do decide to get back on the market, that, you know, y'all go look for Sam.
Not yet.
No, I said when you get ready. I just, I take my hat off. Anybody that can do more kids.
You just want more? Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. That one might come to three. I don't know.
No, and that's the problem. That's why I don't want any. I don't want any more because on my first.
That's a conversation. You got any twins in your family?
I do. My mother was a twin. It skips a generation. I'm her only child. Yes, I'm the only child, so it had nowhere to go but to me. And so even my doctor told me when I had my twin, she was like, oh my gosh, just imagine if each time you get pregnant, you have multiples. Lady, you can take this whole uterus right now.
Why she had to say that? First of all, we're not going to speak that. Mm-mm. If you're going to make her do this, I want one mold. You ain't gonna get it now.
I told her you can have this whole uterus. Please take it.
I'm a dog. I'm good.
Right. I don't even know if I want a dog. Just give us two goldfish. Something that I really don't have to bathe and feed like that. I'll take two goldfish because I still gotta walk a dog. I still gotta bathe a dog. I still gotta talk to a dog and let it know it's loved on a daily basis. Give me two goldfish. Right.
Okay.
And then lastly, I know we've gotten so off topic, but lastly.
That's all right. That's a good podcast when you get off topic, start talking about kids and goldfish.
Right, because I'm probably going to get two this year, two goldfish this year. So everybody, the whole house is complete.
Okay.
So then we've talked about it a little bit off and on, but if you could really and truly choose, like, you know, if you just sat down at the table with both women that you co-parent with and you were able to have that conversation, would you choose for them to be there financially, or would you choose for them to have a more active role? This is more so towards your son's father. I'm sorry, your son's mother.
Well, I would want them both to be there physically because that's way more important than anything you can give me financially. I can take care of everything financially. That's not the issue. I don't want to seem like I'm punishing you or just being paid. I'm more of, spend time. They want to know you.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. They just want to know you.
Do you think it's things that you can't teach your son that only his mom could?
Yes. Like how to treat a woman is very important. And he can actually learn what women want or how to actually make him understand her softness, her sensitivity and all that, because my son is hardcore. So, but when the sister's here, he's learning that he has to be patient, you know, be nice, you know. So I can kind of show him how to treat a woman by his sister, but it's different.
Yeah, that's because that's blood.
Yeah,
so, well, you know.
Mother would be blood too, but you know, it's all about now I can teach him, okay, this is how you do this. This is how you got to give her your first. You got to open the door for her. You got to protect her.
Yeah, but that's what I meant by that's blood. But like, because naturally, that's something that he would want to do for his sister versus some girl like that he meets maybe in school, you know?
But the whole goal is, this is how you treat your sister, your mother, you know, your cousin, just like you would treat your wife. You want to protect your wife. You want to honor, cherish, you know, have love for your wife.
Mm-hmm.
What better way to show you how to do that than train with your sister and actually grow that sensitive trait to her. Because now when you start dating, now you're going to be more sensitive, you're going to be more understanding, and, you know, understand how women are because you have a sister.
Yeah, and those, you know, and I think that's where, you know, having a mom who was more active would come into play also, because that's those are things that I teach my son. You know, my son actually gets a kick out of holding the door for people when we're in public and people telling him he's a little gentleman. So I think that both parents being involved is important, because I completely understand that there are things that I can't teach my daughter or my son because of my genetic makeup at the end of the day.
Yeah. Like, children were made to have a male and female, you know, role models. So they can get that from other places as well. So thankfully, I was able to get it from a positive place and not a negative. So that's really important when you have your kids around.
Ooh, say that again for the people in the back.
Children need a male and female influence. They're going to get one regardless. Now, it's up to you whether it's a positive one or negative. You have to see by the amount of kids that can be not a name. But if you're selective of who meets your kids and all that, then you know, it's just decisions.
This is true. And you spoke nothing but 100% facts. You know, it is very important who you have your children around, especially given everything that's going on in the world today. And you just can't trust any and everybody around your kids.
I ain't got no peace, but I do have peace. That's all I'm saying. So, I just keep the folks static like that, and we keep it moving.
Awesome.
So, this is...
Well, Sam, I want to thank you for your time today. I truly appreciate
you.
Right? After so many technical issues. I truly appreciate you for your time. Yes. So tell me about when is your next podcast releasing?
It actually released today.
Okay.
So it's every Monday.
Okay.
I do it like 1 a.m, so I don't have the notifications on because it'll go off. But yes, every Monday we're dropping an episode. So what we did, stubbornness was today's topic.
Okay.
Stubbornness and men. So it's interesting.
Okay.
So yeah, we talk about all kind of love and love, sex, relationships, and everything in between. So we got sex, dating, divorce, everything you can think of. You can just search Iron Sharpens Iron. Or you can follow the ICE Podcast Network on Instagram and Facebook. We got all the links. Every episode is on Facebook and YouTube. We're trying to make it happen.
Perfect. Well, I wish you nothing but continued success.
Oh, thank you. Even though you yelled at me last week.
I was wrong. I apologized, though, didn't I?
Oh, you did? Oh, I was like, oh, my God. What's up? When was I supposed to do
this? No, I apologize, though. It was my mistake. It had just been a hectic week. So.
Because I was like, I don't want to disappoint no one.
Right, but you don't have to tell everybody I yelled at you because I didn't. I sent a gentle reminder.
It was a gentle reminder, like, where you at? Like, ooh,
It was.
I'm here.
It was not even like that. It was my era, and I apologize. A lot of women won't apologize when they're wrong, but I did.
I know, and I appreciate it. The Southern accent just came out of nowhere.
I did.
I'm like, ooh, now that's my edible rain.
Anywho,
they got a smile and everything. See, it's been a great episode.
It has, and I really appreciate your time. It sounds as if my children are coming in, so from football and cheer practice. So I appreciate you. We can go ahead and wrap up. And once again, I thank you for everything.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too.
Bye. I want to give a major thank you once again to Sam of the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast for his thoughts and views on child support. So now it is time to jump into this week's motivational moment. This week's motivational moment is called Let's Be Honest. And it's about doing real self-reviews and why being honest with yourself is important. You know, I know we live in this fast-paced world nowadays, and it's just like, you know, everybody is somebody, especially here in Atlanta. Here in Atlanta, everybody a boss. I mean, everybody a boss. You, whether they selling weed, whether they own their own gym, whether they got a detailing shop, this, that, and the third, whatever, whatever, everybody a boss. Everybody getting money in Atlanta. But at the end of the day, like, how much of it is actually true? Because, you know, we have a lot of scammers here in Atlanta, too. So right now, I just kind of want to talk about being real with yourself and doing real self-reviews. Because if you're not honest with yourself, then you're really not going to be able to do the work. And this is something that I personally also had to start doing, because there are so many projects and so many tasks that I just want to take on. And I'm just like, pop, 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 pop. I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. But then I often tend to get overwhelmed and I'm like, ooh, I'm exhausted and I've accomplished absolutely nothing because I'm pulling myself in a million different directions at once. So what I personally started doing, I personally started a journal that I call Let's Be Honest. So what I do is every week I sit down with my journal, like I write down my thoughts throughout the week, like boom, 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 boom. Then I sit down every week on a Sunday and I open my journal and I have like these little cute tabs for everything that I have my hand in. And I tell myself, okay, Jay, let's be honest. What can you really get accomplished this week? What's really important? What's really a priority? So that way it's like everything that I'm doing is measurable. And I can see, okay, I'm not giving enough attention to this, or hey, I'm giving too much attention to this and it's not being fruitful. So that's just a suggestion. At least that's what I do. So it's just a suggestion to you all in case you want to start like your little Let's Be Honest journal. I think that it'll help out a lot in the long run, because then your goals are smart. Yes, I love the smart method. Your goals are smart. So, like I said, at the end of the day, you can really be honest with yourself. You can hold yourself accountable, because I think that sometimes we as people rely too much on others to hold us accountable. And then we get upset when we don't have those support systems and everybody else out here trying to make it in life too. So sometimes other people don't have the time to lift you up and be like, girl, you got this and da da da. And then also being supportive is not everybody's ministry. That's what y'all have to realize. So when you have these friends out here who you're telling your ideas and this, that, and the third, and they're not like, yeah, girl, you got this, or yeah, man, you got this, I'm cheering for you in the background, how can I help? You have to remember, being a super supportive friend may not be their ministry, or even being a super supportive relative may not be their ministry. And that's something that I also had to learn, because I'm just like, you know, when I'm starting XYZ, my friends aren't cheering me on, they aren't doing this. Until you actually hit the ground running, like boots on, backpack on, you know, just racing towards your dreams, a lot of people aren't going to support you, because they're like, whatever, you know, it's just like, I got my own, you know, I don't believe such and such and such. But I can promise you, as soon as you take off, everybody gonna be like, oh my God, that's my friend, and such and such and such and such and such and such and such. But so, like I said, starting this week, let's just be honest with ourselves. Regardless of whatever your methods are, in order to achieve your goals, you have to be honest and you have to constantly do those self-reviews. Now, with that being said, I want to thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Roundtable Riot. We'll be back next week, same place, same time. Fingers crossed. Anywho, in closing, I just want to remind you all that starting in September, I am going to start the whole Meet Me at Berean First Sundays thing. So stay on the lookout for that. Don't forget to follow us on social media at The Roundtable Riot. And then also follow me on social media at Jay DeBoya. So Jay DeBoya across all social media platforms. And we'll be back next week. You guys have a great one.